Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Granite Creek Copper, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GCX and on the OTCQB under the symbol GCXXF. Chad and I are chatting with Tim Johnson, President and CEO of Granite Creek Copper. Now, Tim, we're going to follow up first on a news release that came out July 22nd. It's the first results from this phase one drill program at the Carmax Copper Gold Silver Project in Yukon. We have a total of 8 holes released out of the 19-hole program that just completed and was drilled for about 6,300 meters. Now, again, 8 holes released in here, the headline number being 43.5 meters of 1.4% copper equivalent. Tim, just remind everybody the overall strategy here behind this phase one program at this Carmax project, please.
Yeah, well, the phase one program is really designed for resource expansion and really targeting the sulfide portion of the deposit. It's a well-known deposit. The oxide is extremely well drilled off, but there hasn't really been enough sulfide drilling in the sulfide to really know what we have there. So we're stepping out into the sulfide. Again, resource expansion, looking to build up resources for potentially an updated preliminary economic assessment, either the fourth quarter of this year or first quarter of next, you know, depending on a bunch of things, including the availability of a third party to be able to put that together for us.
So, Tim, just remind everybody quickly what the average or approximate step out length was of a lot of these holes in this phase one program, please.
Yeah, so a lot of the holes we were stepping out 50 meters plus or minus from previous drilling. But we were also drilling in zone one. We were drilling across the zone where previous drilling, some of it had been drilled down dip. Now, from our understandings, previous operators were drilling down dip to get a better understanding of the mineral resource, the geometry of it, and where it transitions from oxide to sulfide. Problem with this was by the time the drill bit got to the sulfide portion, it had drifted into a lower grade portion of the section. So we think that this previous drilling unduly biased the resource in the sulfide to the low side, and we're drilling a cross section to get a better understanding and a more truer representation of grade.
So then, Tim, in terms of grades and widths here, we did see some higher grade results, whole way up to 1.8% copper and copper equivalent over 2.3%. We also saw some of the lower grade copper equivalents a little bit under 1%, and some of these widths all over the board. Some of the widest widths, let's say 84, almost 84 meters, and some of the higher grade sections down to about 15 meters in length. Now, how do these compare to some of the past drilling on this deposit and also where the resource stands too?
Yeah, so we drilled two zones. Actually, we drilled three, and the third one we haven't talked about much in this because we haven't had any results back from it. We've got a lot of results back from zone one and 2000 South. In zone one, the width of the deposit is between 30 and 50 meters, and in the oxide, it grades around 1 to 1.2% copper. That's not an equivalent. And the sulfide is slightly lower, but like I said previously, we think we'll be able to bring that up. But we're pretty excited about 2000 South. There had been very little drilling in here. There's a very small resource on it, I think less than 500,000 tons. But our drilling, we see good results beneath the existing resource, still open at depth, still open along strike. And some much, you know, than we expected. You're right, that 83 meters, we didn't expect that much. Keep in mind, true width is between 60 and 70% of the drilled length. That was just because of the orientation that we were drilling to the deposit. But well, yeah, we think we can definitely grow resources in 2000 South, and we're really excited about the grade that we're seeing there too. It could be as good as a sulfide in zone one, or maybe even better in some.
Well, Tim, you're still waiting to release 11 holes from this phase one program. So just walk us through where the targets were for those 11 holes and what you're hoping to test in those exploration infill drilling and step out drilling?
Yeah, so again, resource expansion. We will be releasing more holes on zone one and more holes on south. We started the program with two drills. Both drills started in the southern portions of the respective zones, one on zone one and one on 2000 south, and then moved forward. It looks like grade might increase as we move north, but until we get all the results back in, we're not sure on that. And then we also drilled three holes in zone 13. Zone 13 is a little bit lower grade than what we've seen, but much wider. I mean, last year we drilled 127 meters of 0.6. So we hope to be able to continue to grow that resource in 13 and be able to add that to an updated mine plan.
Okay, and then you also have an ongoing phase two drill program underway. It's more RC drilling, and from what I understand, and just chat with you off mic, it's more new exploration targets. Walk us through what you're doing on the phase two program and what you're doing with this 3,000 meter RC program.
So we brought in an RC rig just because it drills a bit faster. It's more mobile than the diamond rig. And we're going after some of the earlier stage targets. We completed an induced polarity IP survey about 3 weeks ago. And then the RC program is really designed to follow up on new targets that were developed, both by the compilation work that we've done on the historic sampling in the area, plus the IP survey. So some of these targets are brand new. They're near mineralization and they're sort of on trend. But never been drilled before. So we're pretty excited about that for the possibility of nudity on the project, which, can be a real game changer.
Absolutely. I will also post figure one within that recent news release below this interview so everyone gets a good understanding of where the drilling occurred, especially these recent releases and how these different zones fit amongst each other. What about phase three as well? I know this is a lot of different phases for everyone to follow along, but phase one was completed. That's resource expansion. Phase two, this sounds very much like making new discoveries or looking for new discoveries. Phase three, I understand the planning's underway for, let's say, mid to late August start. What's that program going to be all about?
Yeah, so we wanted to hold back about 3,000 meters because we originally budgeted 10,000 diamond drilling. We wanted to hold back 3,000 meters to see the results of our first round, to internally model the resource so that we get an understanding of where there may be some gaps and maybe some holes that we need to infill. So that's really the reason why we're going with that phase three. And if we have some really good success with the RC drill, there may be something that we want to go deeper on because the RC drill is limited to about 200 meters. And there may be something that we might want to step out on or go underneath on that discovery focus as well. So that's why I say the program is still in development. We're kind of waiting for the results to come in. We've got our internal modeling guys looking at, how the deposit is shaping up. And then we'll come back with a diamond rig to infill some of those areas or maybe do some step outs on new discovery.
Well, Tim, we'll keep following along to see when those results come in from phase one and as you get more geared up for phase three to follow up on that in the summer. When are you targeting, just for people following along, to update the resource estimate? Will it be after the phase one and two results are all in, or would you be waiting for those phase three drill results to come in later in the summer and put those all into a new resource estimate down the road?
Yeah, well, one of the determining factors is we're going to model the results from this first phase and see where we're at and then make a decision on whether we need to wait for those results, if they're going to make a material difference or not, or we can go ahead and start updating that resource. So there's a bit of a wait and see approach. In the meantime, we're talking to a couple of different parties about the third party sign off on that resource and to do that work for us. So part of it is relying on when those folks are available and just as the results come in, when it makes sense to update the resource. It has to be a significant resource, otherwise it's a waste of the company's money to do it. I think we're going to be there, but we're not jumping to it. We're waiting to see what we have and then make that decision.
Tim, one more quick question regarding the resource. Bring everybody up to speed on where the current resource stands. And just to remind everybody, the PEA that you guys would be updated, that was done back in 2017. So what are some of the changes? What are your goals around updating and moving forward with that PEA?
Yeah, so the PEA spoke to only about two-thirds of the resource. So there's roughly 24, just under 24 million tons, grading just about a percent, but only two-thirds of that, the oxide portion, which overlies the sulfide, was brought into a mine plan. So that contemplated roughly a seven-year mine, which we didn't see to be economic, but why we're targeting the sulfide in this drill campaign is we see that to be the real potential here, to be have another as big a resource, if not bigger, than what the oxide is. So by doing that, by targeting that underlying sulfide resource, bringing that into a mine plan, which we're working with Mining Plus and Sedgman, we potentially could double the mine life of the project, just bringing those existing resources in. And then by growing them with this drill campaign, it could be quite significant. So that's our goal, is to get to a mine life that, you know, bankers are going to look at and say, yes, that's sufficient to be able to finance. We didn't think it was there at 7 years, somewhere, you know, 12 to 15. That could be a game changer. So that's our goal, is to get to that 15, even greater mine life. With an updated PEA, updated resources, and all within a very short time frame from us taking over the project.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, Tim, and you guys are moving forward with this quite quickly. Before we wrap it up here, just remind everybody of the cash in the bank to keep moving this project forward so quickly.
Yeah, so we in the spring we did $5 million raise. We still had some cash on hand prior to doing that raise. A budget for this program is about $3.5 million. We're on budget, so that's going to leave us some cash moving into the fall and to be able to complete these an updated PEA and resource estimate.
Okay, Tim, appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those answered for you, and we will follow up as we get some more results from this phase one program and also the phase two program when those RC holes start to get released. Tim, thank you for your time. Thank you for the update. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, guys.